Thank you, Dr. Shula. It's my pleasure here to report our work to this audience. And before I start, I want to acknowledge my thanks to my co-authors, Dr. Robert Horton from Iowa State, and also my former students, Dr. Zhu and Dr. Lu. Just a little bit of the background about the Yeatsman factor. It has been a long time people have recognized that diffusing, if there's a condensable vapor in, and also if the liquid phase and vapor phase coexist, and there'll be enhanced transfer in the phase, and the diffusion rate will be higher than the compared with gas diffusion rate. Sometimes it may be approach or even higher than the free space diffusion. So in 1950s, people have found that people have observed that in soils, the vapor flux is higher. The observed values are higher than the predictions from Fick's law. So that's in early 50s. So later in the 50s, 50% degrees published the famous paper on the carbon heat and water flow, and they introduced the mechanistic enhancement factor to explain the discrepancy between the Fick's law prediction and observations. They proved two mechanisms. One of them is the liquid island mechanism. That means that water vapor can condense, and one of the, if a soil, two soil particles form a liquid island, and water vapor can condense in one side of the island and also evaporate from the other side of the island. The other mechanism is about the temperature gradient. They talked about that because the soil particles and also liquid phase and gas phase have different thermal properties. So the microscopic temperature gradient in soil is higher than the macro temperature gradient. That will enhance the vapor transfer in the soil. Later, after 40 years, some people did some experiment, as mostly by Weber and Hall. They did a lot of studies on the experimental studies on the enhancement factor. They did a study on the poor scale experiment, and also a fractal aperture experiment, also a poor study on the porous mediums, glass beads, and sand. They confirmed the experimental the first time that there's a vapor enhancement in porous medias. And they also found that the enhancement is increased dramatically as the liquid island was increased. So that's in the late 90s. But the big question still remembers, you know, what's the magnitude of the mechanistic enhancement effect, and how to measure it, you know, or calculate it in models. So here I want to introduce you two of the methods in the literature. The first one is one of the most used paper in literature. That's by Kansa and Campbell and Jones. You know, they did work, experimental work, and also modeling work in 1984, and they used the relationship between soil thermal conductivity and also air pressure. Basically, you know, if we don't have liquid flow in soil, and the heat transfer can be split in two parts, the conduction part and also the part by vapor transfer. That means here the lambda C and the lambda V part, you know, two parts. Okay, the vapor enhancement factor is related to the thermal conductivity due to vapor transfer. That's the second equation here. Here, this 0.6 means that soil turgidity, and though here, this one is the enhancement factor, and A is the air flow porosity, and L is the latent heat of evaporation. And D, VA means that the boundary diffusivity of vapor in air. Here, this PR means the protocol relative pressure in soil, that, and also this is a saturated vapor, and also this temperature. So from this equation, we can know that if T is determined, okay, here we have three unknowns, this PR here, and also enhancement factor, and also this limit away, okay? So Kansa and their colleagues, they did measurement on the thermal, apparent thermal conductivity at different air pressures. So they just differentiated this equation with PR, and they got this one here. So in this equation here, they only have two unknowns. That's the enhancement factor, and also this slope of the lambda versus PA. So if you get this slope, and you can get your web enhancement factor, you know, by this equation. That's the work in 1984. In 2000, Hirawa and Kosubichi, they published another paper on the how to calculate this web enhancement factor. Their work is based on the solid thermal conductivity and temperature relationship. They have assumption that at the low temperatures near zero, the vapor enhancement can be ignored. So we had, and this data, they had got the apparent thermal conductivity equal to the conductive heat transfer at 5 degrees Celsius. So they assume that at low temperature, you know, lambda V is equal to zero. And for high temperatures, you can get your thermal conductivity by wave transfer by difference between the apparent thermal conductivity and the thermal conductivity and the five degrees temperature. So from this one, we can use this equation here to get the wave enhancement factor, because lambda V is known and only unknown is the wave enhancement factor. So that's work in 2000. One more question here is that, you know, they have a subnet at low temperatures. This one, lambda V is zero. So we question if this subnet is right or not. So later we did some our work. We did a measurement on this proposed new method. Actually, it's necessarily not new because Cass has mentioned this in 1984. We did a measurement on one soil, and we calculated the enhancement factor from the soil thermal conductivity and air pressure relationships. We have one assumption that, you know, this is actually mentioned by Cass, you know, in 1984. It said that at infinite air temperature, the vapor thermal conductivity due to vapor transfer was negligible. So at this time, yeah, the heat conduction should be equal to the apparent thermal conductivity. So that at atmospheric pressure, we have this thing here. If we have higher air pressures, we pull forward this equation here. We use the thermal conductivity measurement on air dry soils, oven dry soils, and we can get the corrected apparent thermal conductivity. So when you, as you can get this one, you can get your enhancement with transfer factor from this equation here. That's our method. We did some laboratory work on one soil, and we also use some data from the CAS work. So the work here, the same decided from CAS, and also this cell term from CAS, and we did measurement on the circular soil. Thermal conductivity measurement is quite simple. We pack the soil in different water contents, the water content from oven dry, and all the way to 0.33 cubic meter water. And also we have four air pressures. We put the soil samples in a pressure chamber and did thermal conductivity measurement use the line source heat probe method. And the temperature is controlled by about 22 degrees. This is our results. And first I want to show you the thermal conductivity was the reciprocal air pressure. You can see that, you know, and low water content, there's no change in the thermal conductivity at different pressures, you know. But if you get a water content above 15 something, it starts to increase, you know, with air pressure. So the slope of the this regression line is water content dependent, okay? And also we use this one to calculate the enhancement factor, use the CAS model and also our model. And the intercept of the regression line are applied to get this lambda values. Okay. Here is the thermal conductivity, apparent thermal conductivity, and also the thermal conductivity due to conduction. We can see that, you know, apparent thermal conductivity is increasing with temperature, you know, on the same descent. It's very significant. Even, you know, at temperature as low and at 3.5 degrees, it's higher than the conduction part. And also it's in our measurement. But in our measurement, it seems that, you know, at low temperatures, you know, and low water contents, there's not much difference between the two. So from this finger, we think that if we assume that the lambda equal to lambda c and 5 degrees, it's maybe give some problem in our results. This graph shows the thermal conductivity due to wave transfer and atmospheric pressures. You know, we compared the HK method with the CCG method, and apparently, you know, the HK method, you know, underestimated the this factor here. But you know, if we take our method, it seems that they agreed very well. So we think that because of latent heat due to the wave transfer is ignored, so their method had underestimated the lambda v, but our new method works very well. Here is the mechanistic inhibition factor we got from the Lassimil set. Now we compared the our method with HK method. You know, seems that you know at low water condens, you know, they are very similar. But if you get to high water condens, especially at the mid water condens range, seems that there's a very large difference. But our model agreed well with the CAS model. So this is a vector. Finally, I want to show you that this is our results from the cell clay. Seems that you know at low water there's not much enhancement, but if we increase water content, it increases greatly. And also this number is higher than the loamy sand. So soil texture has a significant effect on this factor. The thing that in a lot of the carbon heat flow transfers, the people taking the enhancement factor and always from the CAS work. From our work here, that you know, if you have clay soils, the enhancement factor is much higher than their values. Here I saw this graph, and this red line here is the results we got from the CAS model, and here we got from our results. So our results are much higher than this one, but theirs is a little bit ahead in time. So I think if we use results from different textures, this may introduce some errors in your covered heat flow model results. Okay. So in conclusion, we used the air pressure, thermal conductivity and air pressure relationship to get the vapor enhancement factor. And seems that our method compared well with the CCG method. For the other method, the HK method, because they have assumed that the latent heat transfer was zero at low degrees, I think they have some errors in that method. Also, we have to remind that, you know, because latent heat of wave transfer is strongly soil texture dependent, so it's important to use soil texture specific values in future modelings. Okay, with that, I want to take some questions. Thank you.
We can't let him off that easy.
So what were the boundary conditions in your evaporation, in your vapor transport experiment?
I'm sorry?
What were the boundary conditions in those samples? They were wet, you know, you see some 30%, 40% water content.
Yes.
We
just mix the samples with water and then put it in the constant temperature room for 2 days and start the measurement. And we wrapped the columns with plastic sheets and put some holes, you know, in the plastic sheet, so you can have air pressure, you know, exchange with the sample.
So how do you create transport across the sample?
We don't have the transport. We just measure the thermal conductivity in the sample. Okay. Yeah.
So can you just give us an explanation for the texture effect, your last conclusion, the vapor diffusion being a strong function of texture? Why is it?
I guess, you know, the one thing that because the liquid island is different between different soil textures. The other thing that because the temperature gradient may be different between different soil textures too. That's only my guess. You know. Okay.
And yeah. So you make those measurements at different pressures.
Yes.
You're given the vapor enhancement factor basically as a function of water content, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to think of it in terms of potential? I mean, at a given pressure, you're going to have reorganization of the liquid phase.
You're right, yeah, right, yeah. I think potential is much better, you know.
All right, let's give Tushenge Jaykand again.
Thank you.